gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive to HR. And this is your host, Nisha, and my partner in crime, Lillian Kinkup, is not available today. So I'm pretty much excited to kick off our show with our wonderful guest, Michael Jacobson. Michael, welcome back to Drive to HR.
Thanks, Nisha. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Michael. It's so good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be back on the show.
Wonderful. Well, Michael, you know the drill. So why don't you kick off the show by giving our audience a brief intro of who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm an attorney. I'm licensed to practice in New York State. I spent a number of years defending employers against lawsuits, you know, wrongful termination, discrimination, retaliation, harassment, things like that. And currently I work for a company called Expert HR. We've got a subscription service online where you can subscribe and use Expert HR's resources to address all of your daily HR issues, questions you may have, you know, forms and policies you may need to complete your handbook or training for your employees. And then I also do some public speaking and some training. You know, I spoke at the Garden State Sherm Conference recently on social media and employee termination. So I'm definitely trying to get out there and spread the HR gospel, so to speak.
Great. I'm so great to hear that you had a wonderful journey throughout at exporthr.com. And guys, please check it out, exporthr.com. So, Michael, tell us, how was your 2014? And then now we know it's January and it's 27th. So first month is already over. So how it's going to be in 2015? What are your goals?
My goals for this year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say to do more public speaking, to do more, you know, presentations. But as far as HR is concerned, I would say that, you know, after the end of 2014, there's probably been a number of employees who have been fired or laid off or discharged. It usually happens toward the end of the year. In connection with performance evaluations, year-end reviews, and things like that. So now that has happened, presumably most of that is over with already. Usually this is the time of year where terminations kind of pull back a little bit. But now that is over with, you have to be aware of what are the other things that can come up after termination has occurred. You know, after you've already let an employee go, what are some of the other things that can come up after that can still put your organization at risk? So that's what I'm really focused on this time of year, and certainly we've got lots of content on Expert HR that addresses that, but that's what I came to talk to you about today.
Wonderful. So I guess that is what it is keeping you up at night, is layoffs and how to help those employees who are already laid off, and helping those organizations, you know, how to make strategic decisions about laying off employees and what to do after that. So tell our audience, what can organization do? What are some checklists that you would like to, you know, suggest to them? What should they be doing after laying off a group of employees?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is being proactive and being helpful, you know, because you still want to maintain a positive relationship with employees even though they've left your organization. So to the extent you can help them out with positive referrals to other prospective employers, that's helpful. Some employers offer job placement services, training for different areas. You know, maybe they're not a good fit in one department. They need to be trained so they can be fit into a different department. So there are things that you can do to be proactive out there so you're not allowing, problems to fester, so to speak, and for bad feelings to go on between the company and former employees.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen that, you know, most of the employees, they do have this outplacement services that they provide to their employees, those are laid off. So what is your opinion about, you know, how to have an outplacement program in an organization?
Well, I would say just like anything else, you're only really going to get out of it what you put into it. So from the employee's perspective, if the employer is offering that, if you're not really taking advantage of it, then you shouldn't really expect much from it. It's the people who use that, you know, really intently and really seriously and focus on finding a new job that will have positive opinion about outplacement services, and the people who don't really put the effort in will tell you that it's worthless. So again, it all comes down to how engaged the employee is as far as finding a new job is concerned. But you know, I think kind of to address your point, that's not always going to get it done, right? There's going to be some other situations when an employee gets fired and he or she is so bent out of shape about it, so to speak, that outplacement services is not going to prevent a lawsuit or a dispute from happening.
Mm-hmm. So what are some legal complications that can occur after this layoff, as you said, you know, the lawsuits, and how can organizations prepare better for that?
Well, it really comes down to just getting sued, because in the United States, if somebody sues you, you've got to spend money right off the bat just to defend yourself, even if it's a completely frivolous lawsuit. You know, now some states out there have some statutes that will penalize people if they bring frivolous lawsuits, but it's very, very difficult to enforce that. It very rarely happens. For example, I don't know if you heard about this in the news, but there's a Dallas Cowboys fan who is in prison right now, and he sued the NFL for $89 billion because they overturned a call in the NFC Championship game. And this, you know, as far as the courts of the United States are concerned, it's a legitimate lawsuit until proven otherwise. So imagine what employees can get away with if they feel they've been discriminated against or, you know, terminated in a discriminatory way or you know, harassed or whatever. You know, it's very difficult to prove from the employer's perspective that the lawsuit is frivolous. So in most cases, you're going to end up paying just to defend yourself, even if you're in the right.
All right. So is there a way that we can avoid these lawsuits at all?
Say again, I'm sorry?
Is there a way that you would suggest that we can avoid these lawsuits at all? Probably, you know, some precautions that you can do in order to avoid these lawsuits.
Yeah, so as far as post-termination is concerned, if somebody's out there and they're looking for a job, inevitably HR is going to get a phone call for a reference. You know, somebody will list you as their former employer, and they're going to call and they're going to ask about a job reference. It almost never pays in that situation to give negative information or negative referral about an ex-employee. Number one, simply the act of giving a negative referral is then going to expose the company to a lawsuit for defamation. You know, defamation, like meaning you've defamed the person's character, you've defamed their reputation, you've harmed their ability to get a job. Instead, what you can do is stick strictly to factual information as far as references are concerned. So what was the start date of that individual's employment? What was the end date? You know, were they an employee in good standing throughout, yes or no, without a lot of details? To the extent you can avoid editorializing or offering too much detail or opinion in a job reference, that's going to go a long way toward preventing a lawsuit, because if there's an individual out there looking for a job and they're not getting the jobs that they're applying for, at some point they're going to start wondering if their references are saying bad things about them, and at that point the company might be exposed to a lawsuit.
So, you know, we already know that layoffs and, you know, terminations, these are all sensitive issues, but then how we communicate these sensitive issues or sensitive matters does make an impact, right? So how, what do you suggest for the organization when it comes to creating a communication plan on how and when to communicate to the management and to the staff about implementing layoffs?
Well, that's a good question, because, you know, information is instant now. So as soon as word gets out that terminations are going to happen, the rumor mill starts churning, so to speak. So first and foremost, in this you know, new age that we're living in, you've got to keep everything quiet until the final decision is made, number one, and then, of course, until you actually act upon it. The last thing you want is rumors of termination circulating in the workplace, which then enables employees to do things before they leave, you know, sabotaging your network or stealing data from your from your intranet, you know, downloading customer lists or, you know, sending rude or inappropriate tweets on the company Twitter handle. So there's lots of things that can happen if you let word of terminations leak out to your employees before the actual deed is done. So the first thing I would suggest is to have that that communication protocol solid and implemented right away, so everybody knows, everybody who's involved in the decision knows that they're not allowed to share that with anybody else until the final decision is made and until the final termination is made.
All right. So, you know, I'm putting myself in that HR shoes and then looking at my own employees. Yes, we did laid off so many employees and then they moved out of our organization. But then how about the people that is inside the organization? Because we know a lot of ambiguities and confusions and fear are there in our employees' mind. So how do we make sure, you know, everything is calm and quiet and things are in a relaxed mode? Of course, it will not be in a relaxed mode, but then still, how can we avoid that ambiguity?
Well, I think you really just got to get out in front of it. You know, I mean, if you start to hear whispers around the office that people are unhappy or that they're scared or that they're nervous about their jobs, you really have to be candid with the employees that you plan to keep around. And explain to them why this is going on, why people are being let go, you know, why they're still in good standing with you, and just kind of ease their concerns, so to speak. The worst thing you can do is ignore it, because then it can fester a little bit. And, you know, once it gets out there on social media, for example, it can kind of blossom from there in a bad way. So the key is to, if you do hear about rumors like that, or you want to be proactive in preventing that stuff, there's, you know, there's things you can do to address employee morale in the workplace, but on a proactive basis. And, you know, that's really important as well to kind of keep that, that message under control.
You know what, Michael, when we talk about layoff, I kind of remember about a movie named Up in the Air. I'm not sure if you have seen that movie. The content of that movie is almost about HR and laying off people. But then it was funny seeing that movie is they kind of did a technological advances in their company and wanting to lay off people by sitting in front of the computer. So what do you think, you know, by having an individual meeting with the employee that who is going to get laid off, is that necessary to meet him on a one-on-one basis?
Well, it's a hard question to answer, and I have seen the movie, just to answer your question. But it's a hard question to answer because not every solution is going to be appropriate for every company. You know,
no.
We have clients, Expert HR, we've got clients that are small businesses, and we've got clients that are, you know, national franchises with business with stores all over the country. So, you know, there's going to be a solution that works for a big company with lots of different stores, and there's going to be a different solution that works for a mom-and-pop shop, so to speak. Generally speaking, in my experience, the most important factor when it comes to whether somebody is going to sue you or not after they get fired is how they feel about you. You know, if they think that you were fair to them, if they think that you were nice to them, and if you did the right thing by them, if you gave them a severance package where it was appropriate, if you treated them with respect, you know, those types of things, those are going to be the most important factors that come down to that affect whether the individual is actually going to sue you or not. So in that movie, as you mentioned, they're using kind of a technological way around having that personal conversation. To me, that's not always going to be a good solution, because you want to have that personal connection sometimes. And that's not only to prevent somebody from suing you, but also because you genuinely care about them and you want to help them find another role or another job somewhere else.
Absolutely. And, you know, a job is a lot of things for many people. Some people, it is a means to make a living. Some people, it's their passion. And for some people, is there a way to get out of their daily life and then be engaged into something meaningful? But then when it comes to losing a job, it does make a big impact when a person's life, right? So how about if somebody is going to, you know, at an extreme case, especially I've seen in that movie, if somebody is going to take a hard decision on their life, probably committing suicide or something, is the organization going to be liable, or what is the stand of the organization when it comes to tackling that kind of a situation?
Well, when it comes to the actual decision being made and relaying that information to the employee, you know, if HR is ever concerned about whether things are going to get violent or things are going to get out of control during an actual termination meeting, the simple solution there is use a witness in the room. So, you know, whoever is conveying the message that the person is losing their job, there's going to be another person in the room in addition to that as a witness. And then if necessary, you can have security personnel for the building that you work in on standby just to make sure things don't get out of hand. You can ensure that the employee is escorted out of the building without having the opportunity to attack anyone, for example. After the fact, you know, once the employee has been officially terminated and leaves the premises and whatnot, the connection between what the employee does and liability for the ex-employer at that point is very thin, very tenuous. Almost impossible for an employer to be liable after the employee has already gone home, unless there's some really gross negligence or they really just overlook something basic. But, you know, generally speaking, most of the liability, it occurs between the time the decision has been made to terminate and until the employee actually walks out of the door.
All right. So thank you for sharing that. And I forgot to ask you this question, and in fact, that was in my list in the very beginning. So for making a layoff list, which is always a hard situation for HR and as well as for the management. But what are your thoughts when it comes to making it a little more easier while making a layoff list?
A list, you said?
Yeah, a layoff list of employees. What are some things that they should be taking care of, they should be looking at?
Yeah, well, of course, you always want to focus on your business-related reasons or your business-related motivations for terminating somebody. So it's always going to be about their productivity or, you know, their ability or, you know, their work ethic or, you know, just following directions, insubordination, anything that relates to actually doing the job that they were hired to do as opposed to other factors. And other factors, you get into areas like discrimination. So you can't let somebody go because of their race or their sex or their nationality, of course. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to have a strategy in place where when you apply those factors, you're not going to disproportionately affect one group of people compared to another. So you've got to take a lot of factors into consideration when you're making that list, but all those factors that you're using have to be business related.
Okay. Now, keeping the records of this layoff, what do you suggest? Is there any particular documents that you would suggest to keep for a particular period of time? And if so, how long?
Well, that depends on the individual risk associated with each individual employee. There's going to be some times when you fire somebody and it's such a clear-cut case that they deserve to be fired that there's really nothing to worry about. You know, like, for example, if somebody has broken the rules many, many times over and they've been warned about it and they've got, you know, letters in their personnel file warning them about possible termination, they've been through the performance improvement process, they've had multiple chances, it hasn't worked out. If you fire that person and you have the appropriate documents in your personnel file, very little to worry about. But in a situation where it's a little bit more in the gray area, then you have potentially more risk, and then you potentially have to kind of massage the situation in a different way so that you protect the organization, but at the same time do what you have to do.
All right. And then let's talk about the benefits of, you know, employee who is getting laid off. Is there any type of benefits that you would suggest or that are in place that you would want to let our HR audience know?
A benefit of laying people off?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think it really comes down to what your economic situation is. So, for example, let's use Target, you know, Target the company. They had a bad experience in Canada recently, right? They shut down all of their stores in Canada. And then immediately after that, they fired a number of new employees in Minnesota. So they hired a number of corporate-level employees to work in their offices in Minnesota, and I believe within like 2 weeks of their start date or something like that, they fired 40 or 50 brand-new employees. Now, that turned out to be a bad public relations decision for Target because of the backlash, right? I mean, you hire people and then you fire them right after they start the job. In a lot of cases, they probably moved there to be there for the job. You know, it's going to be upsetting to a lot of people. But behind the scenes, Target probably thought they had to do that for economic considerations, potentially connected to the shutdown of a lot of their stores in Canada. So, you know, for them, it may have been an economic benefit, but perhaps if they had done it in a better way and a smoother way, you know, bigger severance packages, you know, remedy packages for people, relocation services, outplacement services like we talked about earlier, it could have been less of a public relations issue as well. So certainly, you know, I'm playing Monday morning quarterback. I don't know exactly what went on behind closed doors in Target. But from, you know, the objective observer standpoint, it seemed like it was a pretty hasty decision that could have been smoothened over a bit more.
Right. Well, you know, I think during this layoff, one particular situation that can arise is, you know, after getting laid off, this employee came to know that that particular role is being replaced by somebody else, and the company has hired a new person for that particular role, which he was working there for a longer period of time. So will that person be able to file a lawsuit? And if so, what do you suggest the company should do?
Well, you know, in the United States, anybody can file any lawsuit against anybody else, and very rarely are they going to be, you know, stuck with the legal fees and whatnot. So that you have to keep that in mind whenever you ask a question about firing somebody, because, you know, perception is reality. If somebody perceives that they've been discriminated against based on their age. So, for example, using your example, if I'm a young employee and I'm fired and I'm replaced by an older employee, or vice versa, if I'm an old employee and I'm fired, I'm replaced by a young employee, one of the first things that occurs to me when I hear about that is, well, they fired me because I'm old. So, you know, as a company, you have to get out ahead of that, and you have to make sure whoever's been fired understand exactly why they've been fired. A lot of that occurs during the performance improvement or performance evaluation process. So if somebody's getting stellar reviews year after year, and then they're fired abruptly and replaced by a young employee, that's going to look really suspicious, and that's going to enable that person, you know, the seed of doubt is going to be planted in their mind, and they're going to start wondering, well, maybe it really was age discrimination. But if you've got years of critical performance evaluations explaining to that employee what they're doing wrong, what they need to do to correct it, and then they are ultimately fired because they haven't improved enough, it's going to be much less likely that they start wondering why they were actually fired, because, you know, rationally they were given all that information, all those warnings, number of chances to correct the behavior, and they didn't do it.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, the unemployment benefits and insurance. So let's help those employees who got laid off probably, you know, last month or so and are still trying to get a job. So where can they get this information about unemployment benefits and insurance, and what should they be doing?
Well, the unemployment regulations are controlled at the state level. In a lot of cases, the states have regulations whereby if you're an employer, an HR or whatnot, and you fire somebody, you've also got to provide them with information about unemployment. So there's got to be like a state-specific pamphlet that you have to hand to your employee, or just a document that you've got to give to them which advises the employee about their unemployment benefit rights after termination. But from the employee's perspective, if you haven't been given that information, it's then on you to go find it. And that's going to be found on your state government website, or, you know, simply by doing a Google search or going to Expert HR and finding some information on unemployment benefits at the state level. But from the employer's perspective or HR's perspective, the way that somebody gets fired or the reason that they get fired is going to have an impact on whether or not they're eligible for unemployment benefits. So that's something that you have to take into consideration as well. Is there really severe situation where you have to fire somebody because they committed such serious misconduct that it should disqualify them for unemployment, or is it more an issue where you can, document the termination in a way which ensures that the company is protected, but at the same time enables the employee to get those benefits to kind of smoothen the landing after they get fired?
All right. So, Michael, thank you so much for joining with DriveThruHR and sharing more insights about layoffs and what to do after layoffs. So, Michael, tell us where can our audience, HR audience, can stay current and get more information about, HR, HR compliance, all this, sensitive data.
Yeah, I mean, you really just described Expert HR right there. It's really a really efficient way and a great way to stay up to date with all the volatile changes in employment law and HR. California, for example, constantly passing or new legislation or amending existing legislation. My home state of New York is almost as bad, but not quite. So, depending on where you're located in the country, what resources you have available to you, Expert HR is going to have pretty much everything you need to keep your eye on federal, state, municipal content. And that's not just the law. We're talking about HR practical tools as well, guidance, policies and documents, training materials, webinars, podcasts, everything you need from an HR professional's perspective to not only know the law but to stay ahead of the game so you're never caught and having to scramble at the last minute to make a change.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, with respect to layoff, do you think that I should be asking a question and that I missed out for some reason? And if so, would you like to cover anything else?
No, it's really up to you. Obviously, we talked a lot about termination, but I'm in the Northeast right now, so I'm under a couple of feet of snow here. So I'm sure, hopefully, there's some people out there who can commiserate with me. And we got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend, so that's a big topic of conversation that I'm interested in. I don't know how your HR audience would feel about that.
Probably that can be another day discussion because we are running out of time at this point. And so, Michael, we really appreciate you having here at DriveThruHR. And in fact, it was a wonderful conversation. I have learned a lot from you when it comes to laying off and then keeping records and then what to do even after layoffs. So,
Let me just tie it all together for you, Nisha. The New England Patriots employee who is accused of deflating the footballs, maybe that individual is going to get fired. And then maybe we'll see a post-termination lawsuit against the Patriots or the NFL from him.
Sure. I will look out for that. And then I look forward to learning more about that, too. So, Michael, thank you so much again. And last but not least, a personal question. What is that one single advice that you wanted to give it to our HR audience when it comes to HR compliance?
Well, specifically when it comes to termination, again, it's all about the perception. It's all about how that person feels about you personally, if you're the person who's delivering the news, or about the company, what their experience was like working for the company, whether the company did the right thing by them, how they perceive you, how they perceive the company. That's going to be the single biggest factor that affects whether they sue you after they leave the organization. So do keep that in mind throughout the termination process and even afterwards, when you get that inevitable email or phone call looking for a job reference.
All right. So that is great. So, guys, check it out, experthr.com. That is experthr.com. And that was Michael Jacobson, and he's on Twitter at HR Terminator. So I don't need to spell it out. You know that, HR Terminator. So, Michael, thank you so much again, and look forward to having you again on the show.
My pleasure, Nisha. Thanks again for having me.
All right. So, goodbye, everyone.
Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break.